Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science, interviews, and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, the amazing discovery of the Higgs boson, aka the God particle, and an underground ocean found on Saturn's moon Titan. Here's a scientist's soundbite.
We have certain questions about how mass in the whole universe was generated. And in fact, a theory without a Higgs particle doesn't work at all.
That's physicist Harvey Newman. More with him later, but first, science news of the week with Michael Brennan and Chris Comfort.
Archaeologists working in Guatemala have discovered a 1,300-year-old Maya text that provides only the second known reference to the so-called end date for the Maya calendar on December 21st, 2012. The researchers say the text contains no apocalyptic prophecies whatsoever connected to the date. The discovery, one of the most significant hieroglyphic finds in decades, was announced this week at the National Palace in Guatemala.
Scientists at Europe's CERN Research Center announced on July 4th that they have discovered a new subatomic particle that appears to be consistent with the Higgs boson. If verified, this long-sought-after particle, named for theoretical physicist Peter Higgs, will help scientists understand the order of the universe.
A prototype for a flying car, the Terra Fugia Transition, has successfully completed its Phase 1 flight testing. Terra Fugia says the first customer delivery of this light sport, rotable airplane should be by late 2012.
On June 29th, a violent windstorm called the Derecho advanced eastward across Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and in parts of New Jersey. It produced hurricane-force winds that gusted as high as 91 miles per hour in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Millions of people were left without power as trees snapped on power lines. For more information about these storms, visit earthsky.org. That's Science News of the Week. I'm Chris Comfort.
And I'm Michael Brennan. Song of the Week this week is by instrumental band My Education. It's off their upcoming album, A Drink for All My Friends. They're doing a Kickstarter campaign right now for the pre-release and to help them tour Europe. Many songs on the album are upwards of 7 minutes, so we're going to hear a shorter selection from A Drink for All My Friends.
Earth Sky, broadcast on over 1,200 stations worldwide, including Voice of America. Physicists at the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, Switzerland, have discovered a new particle that they're 99% certain is the long-sought Higgs boson, dubbed the God particle. The Higgs, named after physicist Peter Higgs, is a fundamental particle of nature thought to give elementary particles their mass. On the line now to talk more about the discovery is physicist Harvey Newman of the California Institute of Technology. Dr. Newman is part of the massive international team of scientists and engineers that slam protons together at speeds close to the speed of light in order to find traces of the Higgs boson. Dr. Newman, welcome. Now, what are the latest results on the Higgs boson, also known as the God particle? Why the excitement by scientists?
We're very happy to establish a very statistically significant signal for the Higgs boson. The Higgs boson is the last missing element in the simplest standard model of particle physics, and it's also ascribed to be the source from which mass in the universe of all the elementary particles in nature are generated.
This particle has proven to be elusive, and it's required some of the most advanced, some of the biggest science facilities on the planet to try and find it. Tell us about the evidence. What's the evidence for the Higgs particle?
The standard model makes definite predictions about the production rate for such particles and also how they're seen after they're produced. What happens is what we call they decay into certain types of final particles that we measure. And there are several types of particles, several types of patterns that we can see. And the fact that we see an indication at a particular mass in several of these channels is what gives us confidence that this is a real observation. The other very important element is that the statistical significance of what we see is enough to claim an observation in common language, to claim a discovery. So the major elements in this discovery are, first of all, the Large Hadron Collider Accelerator, which is an accelerator with a circumference of about 17 miles, which spans the border of France and Switzerland under the ground. And two major experimental facilities, one called the Compact Muon Solenoid, which is the experiment that I work on. And there's a competing experiment with a similar level of capability, but a very different design called ATLAS. And both of these experiments and both of these major experimental collaborations have been able to establish this signal, this discovery.
In a nutshell, explain to us, Dr. Newman, what is the Higgs particle?
Well, the Higgs particle, as I mentioned, is the last part of the standard model, but it's associated, like all particles when viewed at the quantum level, it's associated with a field. And the Higgs field is believed to permeate the entire universe. And in this way, particles which are propagating through space interact with the Higgs field, and that's how they acquire their mass. This sounds exotic and far out, but actually we even observe similar phenomena in more commonplace systems. Some of the so-called solid-state or condensed matter systems, electrons are propagating in solids, sometimes behave as if they have a heavier mass, and the reason is that they interact with their surroundings.
Would you mind tying these pieces together? These Higgs particles are interacting with this field to create mass. What does this have to do with smashing particles into each other? Help us out here.
Well, with each field, there is a particle. And the thing about the Large Hadron Collider is it has enough energy and enough, let's call it intensity, what scientists call luminosity, to produce the Higgs particles at a sufficient rate for them to be observed. The reason why we had to take so much data is that the decays of the Higgs particles, whose production is relatively rare, the decays are also relatively rare. To have the distinctive pattern that we can actually pick out from all the other interactions that we create, interactions that we already understood. At the LHC, we have nearly a billion interactions of the protons per second. And we ran for a long time. So, in fact, it took hundreds of trillions of these collisions to look among those to find a small few dozen events which come from the distinctive decays of the Higgs particles to establish the signal.
And Dr. Newman, what does it mean to find this signal, to discover the Higgs particles. Why are scientists doing this?
Well, I mean, we have certain questions about how mass in the whole universe was generated. And in fact, a theory without a Higgs particle doesn't work at all. So we have a theory which is encapsulated in what's called a standard model of particle physics. It has, like other earlier basic laws of physics, like F equals ma, like Newton's laws, tremendous predictive power. And yet the first step, the first small step, is that there was a missing element, which is the Higgs particle. And so for the standard model to be true, there had to exist this one Higgs particle. The Higgs particle was created in the first place to explain why two of nature's four fundamental interactions, electromagnetism carried by photons and weak interaction carried by Z bosons and W bosons, known particles, can both be part of a unified theory, which was presented or discovered by theoretical physicists Kalashow, Weinberg, and Salam, for which they received the Nobel Prize in 1969. This was the second theory after Feynman's quantum electrodynamics that really had tremendous predictive power in its own domain. And it was great to be able to unify two of nature's four fundamental interactions. But the question was how to have a theory that accommodates both a massless force carrier, the photon, and massive force carriers, the Z and the W bosons, in one theory that's consistent. And it was Peter Higgs and others, there's Engler, Braut, others such as Kibble, who are mentioned together. For example, in the event, there were altogether five of these theoretical founders of these ideas, with Higgs the most prominent. The question was, how in this unified electroweak theory to be able to accommodate both a massless part and a massive part? And the mechanism that he discovered in reformulating the theory left over a part of the theory, a term in the mathematics, that pointed the way to a massive particle, which is the Higgs, with a mass that's not predicted, but now we found it.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about the Higgs particle?
What I'd like people to know is that this is a generational discovery, looking into the past. Perhaps the greatest thing before this was the discovery that all matter is made up of either these light particles, like I mentioned, electrons and muons is another family, or else quarks. So this very simple picture of the building blocks of matter in a total of six small families. Looking to the future, this is just the beginning of our exploration, and the next, the present and next generation of scientists will be working to further elucidate this picture, to tell us what is behind this discovery, to answer some of our other fundamental questions which are not really answered by the standard model, and to give us a much clearer picture about how nature works and how our universe is composed.
You've been listening to physicist Harvey Newman of Caltech. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We're Earth Sky. We interview the world's top scientists. Evidence of an ocean of liquid water has been found under the surface of Saturn's icy moon Titan. That's according to research led by planetary scientist Luciano Ayes of Sapienza University in Rome, Italy. Titan might have over 10 times the amount of water on Earth, according to early estimates by IS. On the line in Rome to explain his findings is Luciano IS. Dr. IS, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, what are the main findings of your study investigating the possibility of liquid water on Saturn's moon Titan?
The main finding is that underneath the external icy crust of Titan, there is an underneath ocean. There is a liquid layer. The study was carried out by studying essentially the tides on Titan. Titan, we found, has very large tides, so large that if Titan that exclude the possibility that Titan is made up by solids, only by solids, for example, rock and ice. There must be underneath the surface a liquid layer which decouples the rocks, which are at the interior, from the external icy layer.
Dr. IS, please talk about the evidence here. You mentioned the Cassini spacecraft. This is NASA's Cassini spacecraft has sent over some amazing images of moons and of planets in our solar system. Talk more. What is the strongest evidence of this amazing discovery that Saturn's moon Titan has a liquid ocean?
Well, the evidence comes from the fact that Titan experiences large tides. And we have seen these tides by looking at the tidal changes that the Cassini spacecraft experiences when it passes by Titan. Essentially, when Titan has a large tide in a certain direction, this affects the orbit of the Cassini spacecraft, and we have measured these changes. So, as I said earlier, if Titan were completely solid, the tides, one would have expected tides not larger than 1 meter. Well, we have seen tidal deformations which correspond to about 10 meters. So very large, and they are so large that only a liquid layer underneath, below the icy shell, can explain them.
And Dr. IS, please compare the tides on Saturn's moon Titan to the tides that people are familiar with here on Earth. I mean, here on Earth, we have a liquid ocean at the surface. We could see these tides. What are these tides like on Titan?
All of us are well familiar with ocean tides because we see the sea level rising and falling. However, most people don't know that the ground on which our houses are built, we are sitting, etc., also goes up and down by about, let us say, a couple of feet, 1-2 feet, twice a day. These tides are called the solid tides, and they affect the entire crust of the Earth. And they are made possible by the fact that the core of the Earth is liquid. Pretty much the same principle which generates the tides on Titan. So on Titan, the outer shell is solid because it's ice, but this icy shell moves up and down, pumped by the liquid which is underneath. And pretty much the same phenomenon occurs on the Earth because we have a core which is made up by molten iron and nickel, and this molten core pumps the crust up and down.
Just to compare this, I guess, to Earth, I mean, I've seen one report that compares the water on Earth to what is possible on Titan, 10 times as much water on Titan as there is on Earth.
That's more or less correct. Yes, it's true.
Now step back for a second for us and tell us a little bit about why scientists are doing this. Why are scientists looking for water on other worlds like Titan?
The search of water has been one of the main goals of planetary exploration. Because, of course, water is always linked to the possibility of life. However, of course, the equation water equal to life is completely wrong. So we cannot say that there is life because we have found water. Absolutely not. But, of course, it's very difficult to think to life without water. The presence of water tells us many things about the interior structure of the body and also about its thermal history, how Titan is formed.
You've been listening to planetary scientist Luciano Ayes. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at Earth Sky Studio B in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Bird. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors, My Education, The Echocentrics, Sleep Good, 100 Flowers, and The Black and White Years. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much art, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night.